Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
.801 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, I want to continue to take your calls, but I want to take a bit of a different angle, and I want to get all of your take on this. So, yesterday, it came out that the court papers were revealed about what the outstanding warrant for Dante Wright actually was. And yes, he was wanted for illegal gun possession. That is true. And the police caught him with that. That is true. But the real reason why, they pulled him over. He had expired tags on his driver's license. Sorry, on his driver license plates. So on his plates, he had expired tags. So they pulled him over for a traffic violation. When they then ran through, you know, his name and who the car was registered to, they realized he had an outstanding warrant. What was the outstanding warrant for? In December 2019, he and a gang-banging buddy of his went out, according to him, to, quote, party. And they ran into two girls. This was in Aussie, Minnesota. Apparently, they partied till 2:30 in the morning. The two women then asked these two guys to leave. They said they didn't have a ride. So they said, can we stay the night? And they said, fine, sleep on the floor. One lady woke up. She had a job. She had to go to work. She goes to the local ATM or the bank, has to pay the rent. She pulled out $820 cash. She came back to the apartment, gave it to her, whatever, roommate, whoever she was, her friend, the second woman. The second woman took the $820, I guess to give it to the landlord, but until then, she sticks it in her bra. The first woman then leaves to go to work. So now, Dante Wright and his gangbanging buddy are there with that woman. They're about to leave the apartment. I guess he must have seen the cash that the first woman gave to the second woman. He then, at the door, prevented her from leaving, pulled out his illegal gun, grabbed her by the throat, started to choke her, and then put the gun to her head and said, give me the blank and money. Give me the $820. And so the warrant was for an attempted aggravated robbery. So this idea that the media is now pushing, that Dante Wright was a poor little boy, oh, such a good, decent boy, or that his mother and father, they're now doing interview after interview, or that hustler, that fraud and con artist, Ben Crump, that shyster lawyer that got a $27 million settlement for George Floyd's family. Now they've hired him as their lawyer, and he's promising them he's going to get them tens of millions for Dante. And he's running around saying, oh, Dante, he was such a good boy. He was so hardworking, and he went to high school, and he had so much promise. I know he was going to be a rocket scientist. You can tell. He was a criminal thug. He was a drug dealer and a gangbanger who glorified the gangster lifestyle, who bragged about being a gangbanger and loved being a gangbanger and loved to steal people's money and deal drugs and do drugs and hold people up at gunpoint and flash his gun. So when the police pulled him over, they know all of this once they did the background check. So what they're thinking now is that's why they didn't want him to get back into the car. Because previously they found guns on him. He had broken his probation. He had violated his probation. His probation said, don't do drugs and you can't have a gun on you. They caught him with an illegal gun and doing drugs. And the gun was in the car. So what they're thinking is he going to reach for his pistol now? Is he going to reach for his gun and turn it on us? Police deal with the worst criminal elements in society every single day. They have one of the most difficult, hardest jobs in the world. Now, so of course they were nervous. Of course they didn't want him to go back into the car. Of course that's why she pulled out the taser, or what she thought was the taser. She was reaching for her taser, or she thought it was the taser, and instead it was her actual gun. And tragically, she shot him. But when people are saying, well, why did she reach for her taser? You don't want him back behind the wheel. You know what the hell he's going to do once he's in the car. Look at his past criminal history. He already fled once before. Now, I want to play this cut, and I want to get your reaction. Okay? I want to get your reaction. Here is the father. They're all doing the rounds now, and he's a good boy, and they shouldn't have killed my boy. And that he was just such a, you know, just he lit up the world, they said. His smile lit up the world. Wouldn't hurt a fly. Why the police pulled him over, they don't know. Why they arrested him, they don't know. But their Dante was a pillar of the community. So listen now to the father. Roll cut 23, Christian.
I cannot accept that I lost my son. He's never coming back. This officer that's been on the force for 26 years. I can't accept that.
Okay, so he can't accept that. I want to read to you something that somebody wrote to me yesterday. I want to share it with you, and I want to get your impression and your reaction. Jeff, remember 5 years ago, that black mom who was videotaped slapping and yanking her son away from the Baltimore riots protesting the death of Freddie Gray. I remember that. I saw a news segment from last year about them, and her actions turned her son's life around. She didn't care if she had embarrassed him. Notice how a lot of young people these days have no shame and accountability, and how some parents seemingly relinquish any responsibility. I don't want to take away from a parent's grief, but perhaps if we had more moms and dads, pardon the expression, slapping some sense into their kids, we would have less parents in denial saying, quote, he was a good boy, unquote. Now, this is from Rama. Drop the mic. I think he hit the nail right on the head. How come nobody, when you see these Facebook pictures of him waving the gun, the wads of cash, doing drugs, bragging about the gang signs, where was the father? I'm sorry, I have to ask. Where was the mother? How come she didn't do what that black mom did? Whack him right in the back of the head. What are you doing? Get the hell out of here. No son of mine is going to be a freaking gangbanger. You're not going to do drugs. Take away that stupid gun. You're going to go to school. If you don't want to go to school, you're going to get yourself a normal, regular job. And you're going to become a respectable member of the community, and you're going to pay your freaking taxes like everybody else. Nothing. Nothing. The lack of discipline, the lack of parenting, the lack of imposing responsibility and a sense of shame and accountability into their kid, into this kid. Now, I'm telling you, this is a nobody wants to talk about this. And it's not an African-American issue. It's affecting every group, every racial group. Parents do not parent anymore. Parents do not. How come nobody slaps these? Where are the mothers, like that wonderful mother? Get out of this riot. What the hell are you doing? You're going to end up dead or in jail. What are you doing? Get that. Go back to school. Get back home. What are you doing? Now, I'm not, you know, advocating corporal punishment. I'm not saying you start beating your kids up all day, obviously. But punishment, consequences for their actions, teaching kids a sense of personal responsibility, and yes, shame, respect for authority, respect for police, respect for law and order. So I want to ask you, do you think that the parents should stop going on about what a good boy Dante was, and maybe ask themselves, should they have slapped him in the head a few times? Your calls next. Get back! 818 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer, 617-266-6868. Bob in New Hampshire. Thanks for holding, Bob, and welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, listen, I haven't been talking in a couple of weeks. I love what you said about the parents. And I just want to tell you, I'm 70 years old. I grew up in Boston on the streets. And I learned respect from my father. You know, I thought I was a tough guy when I was growing up and thrown out of school. You know, drinking was a big thing. Back-talking the police. And, you know, my father told me, you get in trouble with the police, that's the least of your worries. And you talk about a smack in the head. On my 18th birthday, being the tough guy I thought I was, my father said, come with me, I got a surprise for you. And I thought he was buying me a car because I was a good guy, right? He took me down to the draft board. He said, this is my son. He's 18 today. He can't live at home anymore. He's yours. He volunteered my services. And I learned a lot. I learned that 1% of white people may be white supremacists. 1% of black people may be BLM and thugs and, you know, drug dealers and whatever. The better percentage are just great people. So I don't understand why a society of more wonderful people can't control these people, whether they're white or black. But I watch TV. I don't see any white supremacist looters. I don't see any white supremacists resisting arrest and getting killed. So you're right. You hit the problem. It doesn't make a difference, black or white. You break the law, there's consequences. And if you tell the truth, then that's all you got to do. No, you cannot be a racist if you tell the truth. If the truth makes you look like a fool, that's on you. That's not on me.
Bob, really well said, and thank you very much for that call. No, that's, I remember that. That's why I wanted to read it to everybody. That endearing mom who so loved her son, she's like, I'm not going to lose my son to this rabble. And, you know, she starts to spank him, she starts to hit him. And you could tell the boys, you know, he's ashamed, he's humiliated because she spanked him in front of his friends. But he turned his life around, completely turned his life around. Now, he's going to be successful in life. The mother, it was, you know, tough love. She saved her boy. Now, I'll just give you an example. I was never really out of control. But you know how it is when you're a teenager. You know, you think you want to start, you know, want to be independent. You're going to start doing your own thing. So my parents would give me a curfew to come home. And they were right. They should have given me a curfew. Well, I kept breaking the curfew because I was dating Grace. And so my mother got really upset at me. I'll never forget this. It was a Saturday morning. So Grace and I went to the movies. Anyway, I stayed longer than I should have. So she's upset, saying, look, I gave you a midnight curfew. You came home at 1 o'clock. I'm sick and tired of you breaking the curfew. Now, I never, ever swore at my mom, ever. And even in this case, I never swore at her, but what I was upset. So what I said to her, I said, I don't, and then came the F-bomb. I don't effing care what you think. Now, you know when you say something and a word is in your mouth and it's starting to come out and you're like, you wish you could take it back because you know, oh boy. Well, that's exactly, I knew right away as it was coming out of my mouth. I'm like, oh no. So my mother just started to, I'd never spoken to her like that. My mother starts to cry, you know, teenage rebellion. My mother starts to cry. She's horrified. To this day, my father was in the living room sitting, drinking a glass of wine. No, sorry, drinking a coffee. My bad. Drinking a coffee, watching television, the news, whatever, the morning news. He got up. So to this day, I don't know how he, it was like 20 feet apart. How he made that 20 feet that in 1 second, I don't know. He flew across the living room, and all I remember is his hand hitting the back of my head. You know, like, boom. It was one whack, but he hit me so hard. And he pointed the finger at me, and he told me, if you ever speak to your mother or me like that ever again, your ass is out on the street. Do you understand me? I mean, he was hot. He was really upset. Now, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I still remember that to this day. It was humiliating. I was ashamed. It wasn't so much the blow. I mean, sure, it hurt, but it's that I was 18 and my dad basically spanked me. I mean, it was one blow, but you know, still, he spanked me, he hit me. And that I deserve to be hit because I shouldn't have sworn. You don't use the F-bomb in front of your mother. You just don't. And I was wrong. I was violating the curfew in general. So, and I got to tell you, I never violated a curfew after that. Ever, ever, ever. Now, it's nothing, you know, I wasn't a gangster. I wasn't a drug dealer. I wasn't, God, you know, far from that. But I'm just trying to tell you, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. I said this to Sandy when we were off air. You know, my dad whacked me in the back of my head. I didn't die. It wasn't the end of the world. I'm not saying you beat your kids. But once in a while, yeah. What's wrong with that? Like, we've lost that. That's what the black mother did to that teenage boy. That's what my father did to me. And it's not so much the physical, you know, the actual hitting. It's how humiliating it is. It's shaming. And it's almost like, snap out of it. Come on. Grow up. And it really, I'm telling you, man, whew. I mean, I never did it again. And this was what, 30, almost 33, almost 35 years later. I remember it like it was yesterday. Now, I'm just saying this. I see the mother, Dante Wright's mother, Katie, I think her name is. I see her everywhere on television. I see the father. They're always on television. He was such a good boy. What a good boy. Oh, my boy. My poor boy. He was so good. I'm thinking, really? You don't see the drugs? You don't see the guns? You don't see the wads of cash? You don't see the gangbanging? You don't see any of that? A child out of wedlock? He's 20 years old? You don't see any of that? And not once did you ever say to him, you know what, son? Boom. No, 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 no. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You're going to turn your life around. You're not going to be a criminal. You're not going to be a lowlife. You're not going to be a gangbanger. Because you know why, son? It's not going to end well for you. The mother, that beautiful black mother, when she was asked, she goes, I saved my son because I knew either he's going to end up in prison or he's going to end up dead.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
She rescued her boy. She loved her boy. It's called tough love. Why didn't she or the husband or father, forgive me, do some tough love and say, you know what? You're not going to play the gangster anymore, son. Because I'm telling you, had they done it, just maybe, he would be alive today. In fact, I'll bet you he would be alive today. Your reaction next. .832 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868. Greg in Boston. Thanks for holding, Greg, and welcome.
Hey, Jeff. I enjoyed your story and, you know, the story of the 70-year-old man. And I think it's just, for those of us that are a little bit older, we had that. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I liked to fight. I don't know why. I was always fighting in school. My father worked two jobs, and my mother would come pick me up. I'd get suspended, and for me, it was like a vacation. And then my father was a bus driver for the MBTA. And then one time I got into a fight, and I'm expecting my mother to pick me up, and it was my father. And he was in uniform, so he'd left work. Didn't say anything. We got in the car. He grabbed me by the arm, and he said, "The next time you get in a fight, you're going to fight me." And that was it. My fighting days were over, you know, but you know, we had that, you know, we had that. But today there's no personal, you know, responsibility. There's no accountability. You know, I listened to the clip of this kid's father, and he's like a bystander. Like, you're exactly right, Chet. You have an opportunity to influence this kid, good or bad, and you not stepping in or calling it out or pretending that you didn't see it is ridiculous. But I think it's a bigger issue, though. It's a systemic issue with the society, and I have, you know, thoughts on why that is or why it isn't. But what really bugs me is how the media lets everybody off the hook. You know, it's not media, it's propaganda, let's be honest. And it lets everybody off the hook because the pictures you see of this kid, you know, or this man, this gangbanger, are all these innocent pictures. It's not the picture of him holding the gun with the wads of cash, or the reporting about him is not, you know, how he, I didn't even know that until you just mentioned it today, how he strangled this person at gunpoint and robbed her. You know, it's none of that is put out there. And it's the same scenario with all of these instances. They take these pictures of, you know, when they were, you know, 16 years old and they're looking innocent, when it wasn't the case. And then just, you know, furthermore, Jeff, you know, today, and this is what's really sad, you know, race relationships in this country have never been worse. And I know you kind of changed the subject a little bit, but, you know, everything is seen through the lens of race now, right? And, you know, it's, you know, Clarence Thomas, who's experienced real racism, right? You know, he said, you want to stop racism, stop talking about it. And that's not to say, you know, turn a blind eye to it. No, I'll call it out. But this constant, everything is race, race, race. You know, it's fanning the flames of racism. And, yeah,
it's an obsession. Greg, it's an obsession. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's an obsession, Jeff. You're exactly right. And is there racism out there? Yes. But by and large, I run into a lot of different types of people, lots of different backgrounds. I happen to be Irish. I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter to me, you know, what your skin color is, what your ethnicity is, you know, but by and large, people are not racist, you know, it's, you know, so it's just when you're constantly fanning that flame and the media is constantly fanning that flame, you're going to get this type of stuff. And
well,
there's a certain...
Greg, you nailed it. I mean, you're on fire. Greg, I could not agree with you more. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. Great call. He's complete. The media, look, to quote Trump, the media is the enemy of the people. They are. And I'm going to get 9 o'clock. You got to hear this. I'm telling you, please, whatever you're doing, you got to stay, hang on or come back at 9 o'clock or whatever it is. You've got to listen at 9. Oh, ho, ho. Do you got to listen at 9? But just to bounce off of what Greg is saying, how everything is now race. Everything. I mean, it's like an obsession. It's sick. It really is. It's sick. Very quickly. I don't want to get sidetracked, but just very quickly. Here you have the Vice President of the United States. Okay? So, listen to what she said about black women and giving birth. How could you find race in this? Guess what? Here it is. Roll cut 55, Christian.
Make no mistake, black women in our country are facing a maternal health crisis. Black women are 2 to 3 times more likely to die in connection with childbirth than other women. And it is important to note that Native women are 2.3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. We know the primary reasons why: systemic racial inequities and implicit bias. And the consequences are both very real.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. By the way, there's no evidence for any of this. So the reason why the more black women, or percentage-wise, are dying when they give have a child or during childbirth is because of systemic racism and racial inequity and implicit bias. In other words, it's because of race. Everything is through the lens of race. Everything. And I mean, after a while, it's I don't know, you almost feel dirty. I mean, it's sick. 617-266-6868. I'm telling you, mark my words, the Democrats are perpetuating and ultimately pushing racial hatred. They want race hatred. They want the races at each other's throats because it's divide and conquer. It is the key to their power. 617-266-6868. Julie in New Hampshire. Thanks for holding, Julie, and welcome. Hello, Julie.
Hi, sorry. I hit a dead spot there. How are you, Jeff?
I'm good. How are you, Julie?
I'm great. I'm just disgusted. You know what? You don't want to get in this kind of situation. Don't be a criminal. Come on. That could have easily have been. Why are they saying it was because he was black? A white person pulling that kind of noise could have done the same and would have been shot as well.
Well, Julie, I mean, I know you probably just started listening recently, but that was exactly Dr. Grace's point when she came on at 7 o'clock. She said,
I just jump on, so I apologize.
No, it's okay. No, but I mean, you're completely right. I mean, that was exactly her point. She goes, look, forget the skin color. If that was white with that outstanding warrant and they pull him out and he starts to resist arrest and he then goes back into the car and he gets himself free and he's about to drive away, you don't think she would have said, I'll tase you, taser. Of course she would. And she would, she made a fatal mistake. She mistook her gun for a taser. And so she fires the fatal shot. And even after she fires the fatal shot, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the whole video or heard it, Julie, but right away she goes, holy, I can't say it, right? Holy crap.
Yeah.
I shot him.
Yeah.
So you can see she's expressing remorse. Yeah. She's like, oh no. So it was completely accidental. It had nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
And yet here we are.
It's just the reason. Here we are. I'm so sick of it. And you want to talk about racism? I think there's more racism right now, particularly white males in this country, than anything else. With everything they're trying to do in the schools, apologizing for being white privilege. It's so obvious what they're trying to do.
Oh, you're dead on. Julie, thank you for that call. No, there is a lot of racism. It's anti-white racism. And I'll just very quickly, I know I touched on it, but I want to, 2 words, Ashley Babbitt. Now, whatever you think of what she did on, January 6th, entering the Capitol building. And by the way, they didn't burn the Capitol building to the down. They didn't burn it down. They didn't loot it. They didn't plunder it. They didn't destroy it. They didn't demolish it. I'm just saying, if you want to compare it to Black Lives Matter. Now, what was her sin? What was her crime? She trespassed. She shouldn't have done it. No question about it. But does that deserve being shot in the face or whatever, in the neck, and being killed point blank range? So you had a black security or police officer shoot an unarmed white woman who happened to be a Trump supporter and a veteran. She's dead. No charges have been filed. We don't even know the officer's name.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, I don't see all these left-wing activists out there saying, oh, justice for Ashley Babbitt. I don't see the media saying, look at the police brutality. Oh, my God, they just shot someone for no reason. So, if the cop is black and the victim is white, nothing. Nothing. But God forbid, if it's a white officer and a young black person, especially a young black man, burn city after city after city to the ground. Your calls next. .848 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay. Want to go back to the blazing phone lines, 617-266-6868. Quickly, anarchy begets anarchy. Lawlessness begets lawlessness. It's like a cancer. It just spreads. So yesterday, another night, a vicious night, a long night of looting, rioting, clashes between Black Lives Matter terrorists and thugs, joined now by Antifa with the police. It spread to Portland. It spread to Columbus, Ohio, where a group of Black Lives Matter thugs overran a police station, broke in, attacked police officers, in fact, pepper sprayed many of them. It wasn't just Columbus. This is in Dallas, where Black Lives Matter thugs started to rampage as well. They targeted restaurants. Listen now to this. They destroyed some restaurants. They demolished restaurants. They were entering restaurants, and they began to threaten and intimidate the patrons there. Now, what does Dallas have to do with Brooklyn Center? What does Dallas have to do with Kim Potter accidentally shooting Dante Wright? I don't know. But this is now the world that the left and the liberals have imposed upon us. This is what the Democratic Party has done and is doing. This is the insanity that we're now living through. So listen now to Black Lives Matter. They just came into a Dallas restaurant, mayhem, destruction, and they were openly threatening the customers. Roll cut 53, Christian. So they were yelling at the customers, screaming at the customers, and then chanting. And there's an army of them. We have to bleep it out. We burn crap down. Can't say what they said. So, you know, they're telling you, we burn crap down. They're not saying we will or we might. They go, oh, this is what we do. We burn crap down. In other words, we'll burn this. We'll burn everything down. You know, either you do what we tell you to do, or we're going to burn every, you toe the line, or we're going to burn everything down. Here's a little bit more. Roll cut 54, Christian. So this is what Black Lives Matter does. They do this. They did it in Washington, D.C. They do it in New York. They do it everywhere. They did it in Florida. They go to restaurants and they force the patrons, the customers, to put up their hands or scream out their support for Black Lives Matter. If you do not support them, they say silence is violence. So if you just say nothing, you're engaging in acts of violence against Black people and minorities. And so they're yelling, silence is violence. And then the crowd is chanting, why the F, I can't say the F bomb, why the blank are you quiet? Silence is violence. Why the blank are you quiet? And they're going to table after table after table, openly harassing the customers. And you can see many of them are fearful. They're terrorized. They're traumatized. Many of them are trying to leave. Many of them want to leave. The manager doesn't know what to do. The people who work at the restaurant don't know what to do, because if they try to push them out, it could lead to, I mean, God knows, violence, looting, arson, attacks, physical attacks. So they don't want to see their restaurant being absolutely destroyed and demolished. So they just, like a tsunami, they just let it pass, and then hopefully they'll leave and bother and accost somebody else. Now, I want to ask you, is this civilization to you? Does this seem civilized? Is this what you do in a civilized society? In the United States of America, of all places? Is this what we as a country need to put up with and should put up with? And this is happening in city after city after city, again and again and again and again. Where is the president of the United States? Frankly, where are the Republicans? Where is the media saying, hey, look, whoa, this is not Venezuela. Hey, take it easy. This is not Castro's Cuba. What are you talking about? Relax. Hey, this is not Somalia. This is not the Sudan. What do you guys want? You want a war on the streets? You want people to start shooting each other in restaurants? Because what? In a country of 330 million? You know, things are going to go wrong in a country of 300. First of all, they go wrong in every country. Police officers accidentally shoot people all the time in every country in the world. We're a nation of 330 million. That's a lot of people. I'm sorry, there's going to be a lot of idiots. And a lot of people who make bad decisions. Like that poor officer, Kim Potter. So, cops will accidentally shoot someone. You let the justice system deal with it. It doesn't give you the right to behave like a savage, an animal, and a barbarian. And that's what's happening. We're descending into third world anarchy and, frankly, savagery. 617-266-6868. And where is the establishment? Where is the authority? Where are the authorities? Why are they not condemning all of this? Matt on the Cape. Thanks for holding, Matt, and welcome.
Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Jeff, a couple of points. President Trump, boy, I'll tell you, he was such a great president. He spoke so many truths to this country. One thing that he did say, the truth that he did speak, was that the real problem we have is the media, that they are the enemy of the people. This would not be going on. The politicians wouldn't be getting away with it. These Marxist groups wouldn't be getting away with it. The police wouldn't be cowering. The Republicans wouldn't be cowering if it weren't the fact that the media perpetuates this, lays cover for it, and promotes the narrative. And nothing showed that more than O'Keefe's Veritas undercover video, which exposed Charlie Chester, who was the technical director at CNN, and it openly admitted that CNN propagated in propaganda to get Trump not elected. They also admitted that fear sells. They're trying to take Matt Gaetz down. This is all, if anybody just should watch that Project Veritas video, and it says it all. They've been exposed. They can't run from it. And they are driving this narrative of racism and hatred between this, our society. This will not end well. I keep saying that. And at some point, the tipping point will happen when the police are so neutered, citizens will take this into their own hands. And I'm telling you, that's what the federal government wants ultimately, so they can come in, martial law, seize power. And I'll tell you, one of your callers earlier hit it on the head. These people, where are they going to get police from? You see these people rioting out in the streets? This will be their police force. And it was foretold in a book that I always ask you to read called The Turner Diaries, that was written back in the 70s by a physicist professor out of Michigan. You read that book. This was foretold 45 years ago. He was in academia. He saw it coming, and he wrote about it.
Well, look, I got to say, the Marxists, the communists are executing a revolution. And so far, to give them their due, they're executing it to a T. Thank you very much for that call, Matt. Look, what you're seeing is a Marxist uprising. Make no mistake about it. And it's chaos. It's disinformation. It's information warfare. It's anti-police. It's anti-capitalism. It's anti-America. And you have one Democrat mayor and one Democrat governor after another kowtowing and kneeling and bowing to the mob. And Republicans better wake up. This is a fight for the heart and soul of America. Chris on the North Shore, thanks for holding, Chris, and welcome.
Jeff, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Not bad. All right, Jeff. Last Saturday night, it was a beautiful night. Everybody wanted to get out of the house. 76-year-old grandmother comes out, get some fresh air, you know, get away from everything. She gets killed. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't a white cop that killed her. I'm pretty sure it was a gangbanger, all right, over in Dorchester.
Yes.
Right, Jeff? So what did Black Lives Matter do? They turn around and they protest and riot on behalf of the very same type of gangbanger that killed that grandmother. I bet you this animal that killed that grandmother, who's still out there, he's right on Facebook. He's probably waving his gun around. He's probably got the water money, right? I mean, same situation, Jack. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and he's one of them. He's one of them. And look, and you're going to see, watch, it's going to get worse in Dorchester, and it's going to get worse in many other communities. No police, no peace.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.